The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is Adam Fields with the Midnight27Studios.com, creator of the Prowl comic book series. You are listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 231. As we still find ourselves in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic, I hope you're doing well. I hope you are safe. I hope you are healthy. And I hope your friends and family are also safe and healthy as well as we try to get through this situation and get back to some sense of normalcy. And maybe I can help do that by presenting this episode. And it's been a fun one to do. I sat down about 2 weeks ago with my guest, Mr. J.B. Kalagayan. He created a comic book called Mest. And this book is really interesting because it's all about a character named Lilliput, who is a sewer worker. And she has some really outrageous adventures and some very unusual experiences with some of the creatures that live in the sewer. And the setting I found to be really interesting because, as you'll hear in our conversation, JB spent a lot of time researching the sewer, and it's something that we don't think about. I mean, honestly, we go to the bathroom and we flush the toilet. We run the sink to do some dishes, maybe. We do our laundry, and all of that water, no matter if it's in the toilet or the sink or the washing machine, it goes to the sewer and goes somewhere. And so that's going to be the setting for his tale, Mest. And I had a blast talking to JB, so I'm very excited to bring it to you for this week. But before we get to that conversation, I need to let you know about the great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. I know you can't go to the store right now because of the stay-at-home order, but when the time comes and we can leave our homes, you should stop on over to 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and check out the store. They have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking the golden era, silver era, bronze, or modern era. But they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, back issues, etc., etc. And even though the store is closed, they're still doing everything they can to get comics to you. And they're doing that a couple different ways. First, they are doing a live Facebook auction every single Tuesday night. There's lots of great things for sale. All you got to do is go over to their Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/WGComics. But they also have ongoing auctions through eBay, and all the information for those auctions are available on their website, WGComics.com. But look, the bottom line is this. If you can help out and you need to get some cool comics, then give your patronage to World's Greatest Comics. They will appreciate it. I will appreciate it. And you know, it's what we got to do. We got to help out these small independent businesses, folks, if we're going to get things back to normal. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to sit down with J.B. Kalagayan, and we're going to talk about his comic, Mest. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of the PVD Cast, I am joined by comic creator J.B. Kalagayan. How are you doing, J.B.?
I'm great.
I got you in the middle of a sip of coffee. Sorry about that.
I'm sheltering at home.
So can I ask, how are things in your neck of the woods? You're in the Cincinnati area.
We're in the Cincinnati area, and so we get it from our governor DeWine and also Governor Beshear in northern Kentucky. So he affects the northern Kentucky area. So we're just trying to. I think it was Cuyahoga County had a lot more cases early on, mm-hmm. We've been, as usual, as Mark Twain said, things, I want to go to Cincinnati when the end of the world happens, because it'll happen 10 years later. So it's been a little bit it's slower as far as, I think, revealing cases that actually exist. I think there were people who were sick, but the testing is now revealing who was sick.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was going to be kind of my follow-up question. With Cincinnati's in a very kind of awkward geographic spot, because a lot of people commute from Cincinnati to Covington, or Cincinnati down to Kentucky and that general area down there. And I was curious how that was kind of impacting the coronavirus situation down there.
I think that a lot of the states are trying to do just trying to quarantine for 2 weeks if you cross state lines. But I don't think that means like the people that are normally crossing the river for work and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Also surprising, we get a lot of Indiana too. I mean, we are literally tri-state. So yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I mean, it's just kind of weird. I joked the other day with some friends. I'm like, this is kind of like a Dr. Doom plot. You know?
It doesn't have the flair of a Dr. Doom plot. It's like it's a mad thinker, you know, the Fantastic Four villain. With the awesome android, it's more like a it's a slow burn kind of torture on us. And I mean, you know, hashtag first world problems. It's like, oh, I got to stay at home with my comic collection and my internet and do nothing. <It's>
like... One silver lining is that I'm getting caught up on a lot of reading, because the stack of comics in the background there is huge. So I'm whittling those down slowly but surely.
I think it's the bane of any comic collector. I'm a comic reader / collector, and I have boxes of books I haven't read yet. And even like something as amazing as Saga, I love Saga to death, but it was like, I had like 8 issues that I hadn't read yet. And I read them all in a row, and it was like right before they took the hiatus. So I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed this. And it's amazing.
I get sometimes depressed when I go, oh, this book, man, this is great. It came out. Oh crap. It came out in 2006. Shit. You know, you think it's like 2012 or whatever. And it's like, oh, 2006.
No, we need to start a hashtag, hashtag after the fact or something like that.
All right. You know what? Let's talk about your creation. You are the creator of the comic Mest. And would you give the listeners a brief summary of what that comic is all about?
Oh, sure. So Mest, M-E-S-S-E-D, is the kind of the nickname of the Metropolitan Sewer District. And it stars Lilliput, and she's a sewer worker, and she's kind of our tour guide to the weird, wet, wild world beneath our feet. I think that there are a ton of different creatures that she encounters, and she's almost like a kind of like a sheriff at her territory, and she's just keeping the flow.
Let me ask you, what was the inspiration for this tale? Because I'll give you my impression as I read the very first issue. This is like Aliens in my mind, because you're trapped in space. You can't go anywhere. And you got these weird, you know, that's what automatically clicked in my head. So what was the inspiration for creating this world, this universe of Mest?
I've been collecting comics since I was 9 years old. And I think everyone that collects comics want to do comics, whether it's art, whether it's writing. I think they always want to like their own character, or they want to try their own thing. And so with that, I always wanted to do a comic book, but I could never find the right idea. And I used to work at the Cincinnati Museum Center, and it's near the Queens Gate treatment plant, the MSD here in Cincinnati. And I took a tour, and then all of a sudden the lingo they were using, everything just clicked. And I just had this idea. There's this utility that is essential that we use every day. And yeah, let's be disgusting. We're flushing our toilets. We're cleaning our vegetables. I mean, like we contribute to this system every time we turn on a faucet, and we don't know anything about it. I mean, I love alien world. I love fantasy worlds. But I, when I, in my writing, I like to do an element of the familiar. And here we are in a system that is right below our feet, and we know nothing about it. I've been in a couple friends have took me down who worked for MSD. They took me down for some tours of some of the sewer systems. And obviously, it's illegal to be down there. There's a reason for that. It is very dangerous. And especially like if it just rains or anything like that, because there's a lot of combined sewers where it's rainwater and sewage water. I mean, it is just very dangerous. So there's a reason why we don't know a lot about it, because they don't want us messing around in those tunnels.
I'm absolutely flabbergasted by that. I tip my hat to you for going down in the sewers. I don't think I would want to do that. Even if I had people I trusted taking me down there, I think that would, I mean, it had to be intimidating.
Oh, it was, number one, it is pitch black. I brought like a little flashlight, like one of those, like, 3-inch clicky click at the bottom. You know, I could barely see anything. My friend brought this like almost like laser beam flashlight, and that's the only way we were able to see anything. I'll be honest, with a lot of the water flowing through it, it's really diluted. It is not the best smell in the world, but it's not like you're seeing chunks floating in the sewage. It's pretty diluted. And there's there's this, I would say like a medium to strong, just regular scent. It just, I don't know. It's just kind of this stringent, just kind of stench, but it's not like strong, like when you just use the restroom or anything like that.
So I actually, one of my questions was, did you have to do a lot of research? And obviously you got a tour, but was there any other like research that you did, maybe say above ground, about some of the stuff that you put into the comic?
Yeah. So with the writing and everything like that, I took probably about a year and a half. I met with MSD workers. I went to Northern Kentucky, their SD1, Sanitation District 1. And I went with I took a tour with their trouble call crew. And what they do is they go around on the streets and just check out different areas to make sure lines are clear. And what's great is they use a lot of robots. They use little tank drones, and they control it. So a lot of times there's somebody in the van just controlling the remote unit. And then there's people out on the street just making sure it goes from sewer cover to sewer cover. So I got to work with them, and I got to interview just a lot of workers. And here are these men and women who are dedicated civil servants. They don't want applause, and they're doing their job, and they're making sure that we're not getting sick. I mean, Dylan, my artist, one of the favorite things he likes to say is, what is the keystone to every civilization? And it's the written word and working sewers, because there's so many civilizations that just fell apart because sewage was not adequate. Sewage cleaning was not adequate.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, let's talk about some of the characters. And I know you mentioned your main character, Lilliput, and she's a very strong female character. And I know when we talked last time in person, which was many weeks ago at the Jeff Harper show here in Columbus, you said that you really focused on having a strong female lead. So two questions on that. Why did you feel that was important? And what has been the feedback from people who have picked up the book in regards to Lilliput?
So, I mean, obviously the inspiration is I've been reading comics since I was 9, but I have 2 daughters, 9 and 12. And when they were younger, one of the things you get to do as a parent is introduce them to the things you love. But they, in turn, reintroduce you to those things that you loved. So, like, maybe it's your favorite sci-fi movie, but then you watch it and you're like, wow, they treat women terribly in this movie. Or you're reading your favorite novel, your favorite novel to them, and then you're like, wow, there's not a lot of diversity as far as color, as far as age, as far as economic status. So you try and seek out other things. Like one of the things I rediscovered was my love of Miyazaki films, you know, like Spirited Away, Totoro, Castle in the Sky. And those are some great things I could share with my daughters, which has just a little bit more stronger female leads or a little bit more diversity. And then the other thing is I wanted to contribute to it. So I wanted to create a strong character that happens to be female, happens to be Asian. And so when I bring my daughters with me to the comic book store, they get to see someone who looks like them on the shelf.
That's cool. And I think that's something that has, for a long time, been overlooked by especially the big two. I think it's changed, and I think it's getting better, and I think it's improved a ton, you know, from way back in the day. But what has the feedback been from other fans? Have you had folks that have purchased a copy of Mest and then come back at another con and said, man, this has been amazing. Thank you so very much. How's the feedback been?
Okay, so we'll rewind to the first part of our conversation. The first people that love the comic book, they're surprised by the comic. People that work in sewage, sewer workers, people who work for water companies, utilities. They are just like, what? There's a book about the sewers? And they might not even be comic book readers, but they're always getting it for their friend or like someone they know that works in the sewers, you know, that kind of thing. So they love it. As far as comic book fans, I think that they've really enjoyed the book a lot, and they like the representation. Admittedly, I love, to me, John Stewart in Justice League, to me, he is the Green Lantern. And I think because he was in the cartoon series, you know, that kind of thing, I love the fact that he is considered by so many to be the Green Lantern. However, I think what I call them legacy characters. The original Green Lantern was Caucasian, you know? So I like when legacy characters like a John Stewart comes out or a Miles Morales, but still they were not the first. And so that's another thing is I think people appreciate is my character was originally an Asian woman, starring an Asian woman. And I think they appreciate that. I'm not trying to retool or revamp anything. This is my original character, and this is the way it is.
All right. Well, let's talk about a few other the characters. One that in the issues I read has kind of never really shown up. So there's not a lot, but that would be the character known as Fat Muckett. So can you explain a little bit about what Fat Muckett's role is in the comic?
So when I was doing the comic book, it was a little daunting. It was like, oh, how do I do this? How do I do this? And also, I've read enough comic books where the word balloon is like 5 minutes to read, but it's one panel and it's like in the middle of an action sequence. And I'm like, what? That makes no sense. So with Dylan Spieg, he's the artist. I try and let his art tell the story. And so you'll notice there's not a lot of word balloons or thought bubbles or anything like that. I try and keep it pretty sparse. Along those lines, I'm trying to just streamline that comic. But admittedly, there's a lot of research and a lot of perspective and a lot of background that I want to share. And I came up with her manager. Her name is Fat Muckett. And she kind of does recaps or background information on the story you just read, or kind of hints at some of the stories that you'll see in the future. It's a great tool. And the way I see Fat Muckett as a manager is admittedly Amanda Waller from the Suicide Squad. Amanda Waller from the Suicide Squad, the John Ostrander run, John Ostrander and Kim Yale run from the 80s.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. That was the definitive Amanda Waller. And I love her to death. And I see her in my head. And we're working on season 3 right now. And season 3, we go back to the surface, to the treatment plant. And you're going to see Fat Muckett and all her glory.
I actually jotted down Fat Muckett reminds me of Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Oh, nice. I like that.
But you know, you touched on something that we're going to come back and talk about a few more characters. But one thing I jotted down, I really like your storytelling idea of giving those backgrounds in those reports. I thought that was a really clever way to fit in all that information. Okay. And to be honest, at the beginning, JB, there was after issue 1, I was still like, I'm a little confused what's happening here. And so when you read those, then you're like, okay, if there is a question, it kind of makes itself clear. And I think that's incredibly smart of you to do.
thanks. I just didn't want to. Admittedly, I've read comics with footnotes, and I'm glad they're there. But sometimes it's like, let it happen. I'm not comparing my writing to Grant Morrison, but like Grant Morrison is like, I read a Grant Morrison book, and I'm like, okay, I got to read that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then sometimes I wish there was footnotes. I'd be like, please have more footnotes. My favorite is Alan Moore, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. There's a compendium which kind of explains all the background information. And you're like, oh, thank God. Because with Kevin O'Neill and Alan Moore, there's all these just little nuances in the background of every panel. And you're just, what is that?
Yeah. So the next character I want to talk about, yes. And I hope I pronounce the character's name correctly. Is it Akka?
Akka the Rat.
Akka the Rat. So Akka is Lilliput's pet and sidekick. Is it a challenge to write that character when they don't have a lot of dialogue or any dialogue?
With Akka, there's almost like Akka can also serve as a tool where sometimes if I do need to explain something, Lilliput can explain it to Akka a little bit, or at least Akka can react to something and Lilliput will say, oh no, it's fine. Or I don't know, something like that. But also just as a companion, because I see Lilliput very worker bee, kind of like a Hellboy, where Hellboy's on the job and he's just trying to, you know, he's just trying to solve this whatever, take care of this occult thing, and then, you know, go have a smoke and a beer. And Lilliput's kind of the same way, where she's just trying to keep the flow going, just trying to get to the end of the day. And Akka provides that kind of the company. But if you read some of the background files wise, rat bites and rat attacks on sewer workers is a very crazy issue that they deal with. And one of the logical reasons why she has Akka, besides the companionship, is also because Akka's scent is kind of placed onto Lilliput. So like a lot of the rats might not attack or even notice her, that kind of thing.
So that's an actual thing that happens?
No, I don't think that actual sewer workers do that. But in my mind, that's how it works.
Well, I'm assuming that rat bites and attacks are something that the real life MSD workers deal with. Yes. And I wasn't sure if there's some type of, you know, some type of pheromone or something that they could wear that would drive them away. That was, you know, my thinking behind it.
Uh-huh. No, yeah. So that's why, I mean, and I've had, and that's why Lilliput's kind of discovered, besides caring for her partner in slime, as I like to call it, it goes both ways.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple more real quick major characters. Nymph,
sure.
Which Nymph is an insect. That's, I guess, the best way I can describe her. And she's also kind of a sidekick and maybe a little bit of comedic relief. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. A 4-foot cockroach. And you would think they would fight, but no, they're best friends. And in chapter 2 is Nymph's first appearance. Instead of fighting, they go on a picnic together. You know, lunch date. And Nymph is I think that what's great about it is when researching and talking and interviewing with all the sewer workers, they would tell me the craziest stories. And I mean, like, honestly, my embellishment is not as much as you would think in certain situations. But with Nymph, it's kind of like, who knows what's down there? Why not a 4-foot cockroach that can talk? And then I get to play with a lot of other things, like I think I have a dimensional riff on the level 75. You know, I mean, it's like I get to play around with like a lot of different things. Is Nymph the result of pharmaceutical chemical spill-off? You know, I mean, like, or are we flushing too many antibiotics in the water? Or I heard in Seattle the sewage water is highly caffeinated because of the Seattle coffee theme. You know, I mean, it's just like, what? And how does that affect things?
Well, you know what? I'd take caffeinated sewer water over marauding bands of alley crocs any day.
That's true. Nice.
All right, our last major character that I wanted to touch base on is somebody that shows up in the last few issues of season two, Kidney Shell. So could you maybe describe real quick for the listeners what her role is and maybe how you came up with that name, because it's certainly a unique name.
All right, well, let's start with the names. Lilliput, Fat Mucket, Kidney Shell, Sand Shell. They're all named after freshwater mussels.
Oh, okay.
I saw this when I was at the Geyer Center, at the Museum Center. There's a they have this board up, and it had all these amazing names next to these different types of freshwater mussels. And that's where Lilliput, Fat Mucket, Sandshell, all those names come from. I figured as far as code names or as far as call names, they're just so unique. And I love it as such a great opportunity. And I mean, that's what's great about when you're doing your writing is the research phase where you can just find out all these little tidbits and just keep yourself interested in what you're writing. So back to Kidney Shell. Kidney Shell used to be a sewer worker. She got hurt. And I don't think I reveal this or not, but it involves the alley crocs. How she kind of was crippled, and she wanted to still serve. So she's kind of the treatment manager. And when I say treatment manager in the MSD world, the real MSD, treatment manager is more treatment of sewage. But in the the mess world, it's treatment of sewage as well as treatment of the sewage workers, because we don't want they're very secretive. They don't want the public to know what's down there and how much risk is involved in what they do and what the sewage workers do.
Well, you've touched base a little bit on one member of the creative team, that being, of course, your artist, Dylan. You want to talk a little bit about all those folks that are contributing to the book?
Oh, yeah. So I'm the writer and publisher. And then Dylan does all the artwork, and he also does the lettering. And he's just an amazing artist. He's done work for he does a lot of work for advertising agencies down in Cincinnati, like Possible and a couple other agencies, as well as he's done work for Sci-Fi Channel, where he's helped with character sketch development, that kind of thing. This is his first comic book, and it's really helped him with a lot of the storyboarding. Because so when he does commercials now, he's just amazingly fast at storyboarding, because he's been storyboarding our comic book. He's been doing it for the last 4 years. And admittedly, when I wrote the first season, I wrote the first season as standalone chapters. Like, you could read chapter 2, 3, and 4 and not need chapter 1, that kind of thing. Because I didn't know if I would have different artists on every book. And strategically, I didn't want it to be like, a continuous story, but different artists every chapter. So, but luckily, Dylan's been with me, and we've done, he's working on season 3 right now. We've done three seasons together.
Gotcha. So let's talk about season 3 real quick.
Yes.
Is there anything that you can maybe give us a little bit of an inkling as to what might happen? I don't want you to spoil it, obviously, but can you maybe give us a little hint about some of the things that might be coming down the pike?
So a regular, I don't want to say villain, but just a regular character that has been in conflict with MSD, with the mess crew, have been the Filaments. And the Filaments are, I took this tour at the treatment plant that I was telling you about, and they were talking about the pesky filament bacteria that would have the, that would form at the surface at the treatment plants. They want all the solids. And when I say solids, you know what I'm talking about. they want all the solids to float down at the bottom, but these little filaments kept disrupting things and keeping things floating at the top. And I was like, Filaments? What a crazy name. And so what I did was I created a sentient bacteria, mutated, that are in the sewers. They filaments or tangles. I mean, it's like a humanoid form in the but composed of like different just tendrils. Mm-hmm. And so they've been kind of hinted at and kind of an opposing force in the first season. In the second season, the first three-parter, they're involved and injure some of the MSD workers. And then in season three, we go to the surface for one of the first times, and they're at the treatment plant. And let's say that the filaments fight back and invade the treatment plant.
There's a little teaser for everybody out there. before we get talking about you a little bit here, I just want to throw this out that I thought this was it's so cool, and there's really not a question behind it. I just was throwing it out that I saw on your social media that you had kind of a showcase for MEST at a brewery tunnel.
Oh yeah, so we try and think outside the box as far as promoting the comic book. So one of the things we did was we wanted to change the way people read comics. We got a grant from People's Liberty in Cincinnati, and we created an immersive comic book, Three Stories Underground. So basically, it's this old brewery tunnel, probably about 15 feet high at the top of it. And we set up 8-foot pipe and drape, forming kind of an S maze, and then we blew up the comic book to almost life size so people can walk around. We have a soundscape, the lights are off, you just have flashlights, and you're walking through the comic book and reading with your flashlight. And it was a great experience because I think we accomplished what we set out to do in changing the way people experience comic books. And just putting it in the setting that the comic books would be in, which is underground. You could hear water flowing. You can smell the dankness of just being underground. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. And just trying to keep things outside the box as far as traditional promotion of your comic book, you know?
That was a brilliant idea. I really was like, that is awesome. And man, I would do that in a heartbeat, even though I don't want to go down in sewers, but I would check that out because, you know, I mean, that was pretty cool. Allow me to interrupt real quick to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they're a proud sponsor of the PBD cast, and they're also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, comic book supplies, etc., etc. And even though the store is closed right now due to the stay-at-home order, and by the way, that store is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, they are still doing the very best they can to get comics in your hands. And they are doing that through a couple different means. First off, they have a ton of eBay auctions you need to check out. And every Tuesday night, they have a Facebook Live auction that has got a ton of great items up for sale. So check out those auctions by, number one, going over to their website, wgcomics.com. That's where you can find out about the stuff on eBay. And, of course, you can check them out on Facebook at WG Comics and enjoy those live auctions every single Tuesday night. And help out the store if you can, ladies and gentlemen. It's a trying time for many small and independent businesses. But if you get a chance, you got a couple bucks, and you want some great comics, check out the auctions either on eBay or on Facebook Live. So let's talk a little bit about yourself, all right? Yeah. Were you always a creative individual? Like, even as a kid, were you writing stories and creating comics as a kid?
I was doing very bad art, and yes, I was always creating stories and playing with Legos, or, you know, you got your G.I. Joe's, Transformers, your Star Wars action figures, those kind of things. So yeah, always creating scenarios and stories and just trying to make things up.
So I have to ask, favorite comics, favorite superheroes? I know you mentioned that you're a big fan of Saga, but are there others on that list that you love to read about?
Let's see. There was, you know, I get my favorite thing was Convenience Store and the Spinner Rack. You remember the spinner rack?
Yes, I do. Gosh.
So Avengers 210. You don't need the weatherman to know which way the wind blows. That was the title. That was my first comic book. And it just had the entire ensemble in a one self-contained story. It had Beast, Wonder Man, Scarlet Witch, Captain America, Thor. I mean, it was just amazing. So that was my first comic book. And, you know, I would read Legion of Superheroes, Spider-Man. And I think that comic book readers, people who have been reading comic books their whole life, they are used to – they. I feel like story-wise, they're the most adaptable consumer because they're used to having holes. They're used to missing an issue or having a hole in a story, and they're fine. They can just keep on going. They got it. They're going to go get that back issue sooner or later, but they're not going to stop because they're missing an episode, which I love. So then – I kind of like in the teen era when I was a teenager, it was Nexus, the Badger, Elementals, Miracle Man by Alan Moore and Alan Davis. I mean, those books just like changed the way I thought. I changed the way of what I thought comics could do.
Mm-hmm. See, Watchmen was for me as a teenager. Reading that, I'm like, this is unlike anything I've ever read before.
Exactly. And it's just the use of metaphor and just the adult nature. Oh, my gosh. And again, this is before the internet. So this is where music and comics was kind of the outlaw culture that you could get. I mean, because I only had four TV channels growing up.
Same.
And when PBS is like your window to the world, you need something a little bit more adult sometimes.
Not that there's anything wrong with PBS. We love at PBS all, here on the PBD cast. But, you know, yeah, you need a little need a little spice, you know.
Need a little John Constantine smoking. And you're like, who is this prick?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you are a self-professed theater guy, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And you've worked with a couple of playhouses in the Cincinnati area, such as the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park and the No Theater in Cincinnati. Would you maybe give us a real quick description of those two organizations?
Sure. I started No Theater right out of college. I'll be honest with you. Like, I did some cartoon strips, writing it, not drawing, obviously. Writing a couple cartoon strips for the student paper. But honestly, I found more community in theater. So I stuck with theater most of my time, writing plays, directing plays, producing plays, and it helped me find my creative voice and that sense of community, because you can write a great play, but it doesn't come to life until actors and directors help put it together. And so, and you couldn't get that with comics. So I created No Theater Cincinnati 22 years ago.
Really?
Back in 97. Yeah, okay. 97. So I did that for 12 years. And then I moved on to working for other nonprofits in Cincinnati, including the Playhouse. But No Theater is probably what I'm proud of. It gives a voice to a lot of stories that kind of needs that kind of representation. And it's kind of like they describe themselves now as Cincinnati's theatrical playground, which is really kind of cool.
And I imagine, you know, as you were talking, that, you know, you can write a great play, but it takes the actors to bring it to life. I feel like that's very much a metaphor for comics. You can Absolutely. Have a great script. You don't have the art, you know, the artist in the other creative side of things. You may not have the best comic in the world if you don't have that synergy between both.
Exactly. I think that working just doing a lot of playwriting really helped me with my comic book writing in kind of describing the different panels and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, working with Dylan, I mean, we almost have a shorthand. A lot of times I could describe one panel, and this is my faux pas as a writer. He'll be like, hey, there are three actions in one panel. How is this possible? And I'd be like, oh, Sorry about that. But he's so good at like helping me with a bridge panel. Sometimes it's just the action, as much as I can describe it, it just needed that extra panel just to make the story flow a lot better.
Do you have any other projects besides Mess that are, is on the docket, so to speak?
I don't think I can talk about it too much. Okay. But we're organizing an anthology down here in Cincinnati, and more details to come.
Okay. I saw on your social media that you are involved in, or applied for, whatever verb you want to use, the Top Cow Talent Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Has there been any word back from them?
No word back. But that was just, I figured, I will admit to you, for the last 5 years, my obsession has been Messed, and that's the story that's been calling me. So I've been writing scripts for that, and that's been wonderful in promoting and publishing. But I was like, I need to challenge myself as a writer. I think in any craft, you need to challenge yourselves and get outside the box. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try the Top Cow talent search. And so I had to use one of the Darkness characters, and I just had, it was really fun working with a different character that wasn't mine, and just trying to just balance what they wanted, but keep myself entertained as I was writing it. So it was a really fun exercise.
Well, springboarding off that question, if you were given the shot to take over any character, whether Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, no matter what the company, what would be the one character you would love to write?
Oh, I got this Skype interview that Chip Zdarsky did, who does Sex Criminals, and he was talking about working for Marvel, and now he's writing every Marvel character. But this is when he was first starting, and he didn't want to be interfered with, is I think how he put it. He's like, give me Howard the Duck, and sure, I'll take Star-Lord. And like, those were the comics he first started writing, just to get the feel for it, which was great. And then my favorite part of his interview was he was talking about the artist he worked with in Star-Lord, just kept drawing Star-Lord with his shirt off, because he just liked writing, or he kept drawing men with shirts off. And I was like, and then he gave us a couple copies, and I was like, oh my God, yeah, his shirt's off, and he's just hanging out at home with his shirt off.
he's played by Adam Driver, because, you know, that dude never wears a shirt either.
So for me, I would love a stab at Moon Knight. Moon Knight is one of my fave characters. When I was growing up, I would buy all the issues. I loved all the creators on there. He's been through so many phases of the moon, phases of the character. And so, like, I did not try him as much, love him as much in later years. But then Warren Ellis and Declan Shabby, they did a Moon Knight run, just 6 issues, that just transformed the character and just really brought him back into the present day. And it's just amazing. Warren Ellis is one of my favorite writers, Transmetropolitan, Global Frequency, The Authority. I mean, he's just one of my favorites. Just, I do a lot of, unfortunately, I reread, which is funny because I just told you I have a box of books I haven't read yet. And yet, we're like, ooh, I got to go to bed. And should I read something I haven't read before or read something I know I'm going to love? And yeah, Warren Ellis gets a lot of rereads.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan. Transmetropolitan is one of my top favorites.
Oh,
it's so good.
Oh, where was I? I think it was, for a short time, we had this Cincinnati Comic Con down here, and I got to meet Derek Robertson, and I got him to sign my Transmetropolitan books. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. It's because, I mean, as much as good as Warren Ellis is, Derek adds so much detail to every panel. Just, yeah.
And the most remarkable thing, I just to keep on this train of thought about Transmetropolitan, I always was blown away by how much technology and how much like societal changes appear in that book that was published. Yeah. I mean, years before we had this thing that you and I are doing, you know, video conferencing or news feeds or stuff like that. And I found out from actually a video project, or I should say an animated project that Warren Ellis did, G.I. Joe Resolute, which was like this direct-to-DVD cartoon that he wrote. Yeah. In the special features, there's an interview with him, and he talked about how he would do a lot of research in science and military and whatnot. And, you know, because the military and science and technology, they work so many years ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what we don't know, that the next big thing that's coming out, we don't know it because it's years in the development. And he would read a lot of that stuff, and that's why he would pull stuff in. And I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense, man.
Oh, man. So, A, I didn't know he did that, so I'm going to have to look up that animated feature. And B, I mean, like, the internet, highways. I mean, like, these are things because of the military.
Yeah.
But also politically, just...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's not talk about the beast.
Yeah, I mean,
and new comparisons to politics today.
Exactly. And I always say Spider Jerusalem is Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great book. Great book. And Warren Ellis is a great writer. Big fan. Man. All right. So let's start wrapping things up, JB, real quick. I don't know, you know, given our current status. Do you have any upcoming appearances? And I joke because we said before we started recording, are we ever going to do comic cons ever again? Who knows?
I'm telling you, I saw, I was doing, so my next appearance should be Space in Columbus.
Okay.
Your neck of the woods.
Yep.
And, Bob had that. He usually does it in April, but like because of availability, he had to go to July, and that might have been the best thing for the show. So, and I think we're all, I mean, if July were all clear, I think people are going to be hungry for something new and hungry to get out. But I will admit to you, and I don't feel bad about saying this, like when I did my first Comic-Con a bunch of years ago, I got just really sick afterwards. So I keep hand sanitizer below the table and between people shaking hands or fist bumps or just, you know, I'm trying to protect everybody. I'm just sanitizing. I mean, really, just trying to protect everybody.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't think this is anything new when you have a group of people, you know, think about the common cold.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. So, but now, am I going to have to wear a mask? I don't know. Man, I have to adopt some sort of cosplay with my Comic-Con going.
Well, you know what? Hopefully by July and when space rolls around, hopefully we'll be out of the woods. We'll be able to have some sense of normalcy and we can enjoy Comic-Cons again and as well as everything else.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. How about some social medias? Where can folks find you on the internet?
All right, so at Messed Comics, M-E-S-S-E-D, Comics. That is Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And then www.messedcomics.com. We have digital comics for free of the first season if you want to come check it out. We've got word puzzles. We got coloring pages. We got just a lot of fun stuff. And then I think our next blog post, comic book superstar David Mack did a cover for us, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So he graduated from Northern Kentucky University near here. So like we talk every so often, we hang out every so often. He tells me great stories, and he ended up doing a cover for us. So it's freaking gorgeous. I can't wait to show it on the website.
And if I'm not mistaken, you also are doing some, I guess you could say, video presentations on YouTube, correct?
Yeah, we're doing some video interviewing of the different creators. And then also, Dylan animated his artwork, and he's also in a band called Heavy Hinges. So he used one of their songs, and we created the Messed music video to the Heavy Hinges song, Mrs. Wright. Ms. Wright.
And is the YouTube channel Messed Comics as well?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. You got plenty of media And you don't know, you might need it. You know, these next few weeks, you might say, I need something. There you go. You can check out your, you can check out Mess Comics. There you go.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, with that being said, JB, anything else you want to let the listeners know about?
No, just we want to thank people for trying new things, trying local things, trying independently published things, and just really getting out of mainstream at least once in a while.
There you go. Enough said. JB, thanks, man, for joining me here and taking a little bit of time out of your day to sit down and chat with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with JB Kalagayan, talking about his comic Messed. And if you're anything like me, you probably learned something from this episode. You know, I mean, I didn't realize all of the intricacies that went on with something that we use every day, the sewer. But nonetheless, check out JB's stuff over at messedcomics.com and pick up an issue if you like what you see there. So with that, I think it's about time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you choose to do so. You can shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter @PVDMVP, which is my personal Twitter handle. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook page. That, of course, is facebook.com/PVDcast. And you can even leave me a message, if you like, over on the Instagram page. Just search for @PVDcast. And let me tell you where you can find this great podcast, just in case you want to tell some folks about it. I mean, you already know where to find it, but I digress. It's available at the online home of yours truly, pvdcast.com, but also through most major podcast platforms such as Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, Deezer, the iHeartRadio app, radio.com app, PodParadise, SoundCloud. You can always search for PVDcast, or sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, in whatever platform you're using, and you are sure to find it. And don't forget that the PVDcast is also syndicated through Redline Radio. You can listen anytime you like to this episode by going over to RedlineRadioLLC.com, or you can find them on Facebook, again under the name Redline Radio LLC. And you can even download their own app if you are an Android user. All you have to do is go to the Google Play Store, search for Redline Radio LLC. I think it's the third or fourth one down. Download it, and you could take the station on the go. There is an app coming for iPhone soon, folks. But, you know, definitely check out Redline Radio. They got a great collection of shows over there. The Scoop, the Hot Tag Wrestle Corner, What's Your Opinion, the Canned Air Podcast. Very happy to be part of the Redline Radio family, and definitely check them out. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until next time, stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy.